It's been about 3 months, I guess, since I've had Cheryl minister, and we really felt led of the Lord for her to do it today, because what the revelation that's been coming about the word of the Lord and what God's been doing. So I want you to reach your hands out to Cheryl this morning. Just bless her. Father, we bless Cheryl. Thank you, Lord, for this instrument. We just loose the word of the Lord. Let your anointing rest upon her in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Give her a hand clap. Thank the Lord. Amen.
I am so excited this morning. I'm just so excited this morning. It's just good. I'm going to, so we can prophetically see better. Take a hitch in my giddy up. We got to get ready. I just ask the Holy Spirit to bear witness to the word this morning. We've had some seriously cool weeks lately where the word of the Lord has been flowing forth. I don't know how many of you sense the word speaking to you in a deeper, deeper way. And I just want to echo Papa's encouragement to go back and listen again to these words. The last week was the creative word, that one. I'm just so grateful that the word comes like it does. It's so precious to me. He said this. The word is, now this isn't a list, okay? This is a reality. So I want you to receive it as a reality. The word is settled. The word is fire. It's like a hammer. It's a light. It purifies. It's profitable. And it's food. You just had some of your daily bread. God came and spoke through Christ. And we follow Christ. And we follow fathers that follow Christ. That as he is, so also we are. God's building a foundation by speaking through apostles and prophets, Jesus being the cornerstone, that we may all be living stones, epistles, speaking as oracles of God. And this word is alive. Okay, you guys know all this stuff, right? I mean, but there's something on it right now. And I want to make you really, really aware. We have had the Journey School, which has been phenomenal. But, you know, again, the school has changed as we've gone along, because if we just keep it as a school, then we all become professional students, you know. We never graduate, in a sense. And there is a place where the young grow up in the Lord and become. And so now what has happened is the Journey students have been maturing into Journey groups, so they can create more Journey students to become Journey fathers. This is what's happening right now, and it's terribly exciting for us. What are they doing in this thing? They're rehearsing the word. Hey, let's rehearse the word. Doesn't that sound exciting? Does that sound like kind of droning on or whatever? But listen, this is really important. Let me tell you how I rehearse the word. During the week, part of my job is to pester Papa. I am the chief pesterer in residence. What I'm doing is pulling the word out. You see, the word doesn't come unless somebody's there to receive it. So I am like pulling it out. So we're revelating, processing on the word all week long. And I'm taking notes while I'm doing this, okay? You wouldn't believe my poor computer's so full of notes. Somehow or another, I have to make it all cohesive. I don't know how to do that yet because I'm too busy processing the word, rehearsing the word. Okay, and so then I send these notes to Papa, and he takes that, and he sits before the Lord, and the word comes forth. He's not going to give you any word, and he is going to give you the word. I really appreciate that about this house. What you get is fresh bread. You're not, I know we eat the wafers, but really, we get fresh bread, right? So this word, then, that comes forth, I sit here in church and take notes on what I've already taken notes on. Because I never know what's going to come forth in that moment. Then I go back and listen to the word again, and sometimes two or three times, and take notes again. Now, I know that sounds pretty laborious to you, but when you receive, when you think that word is Jesus, when you do that, when you rehearse the word, when you immerse yourself into the word, let me tell you what, my life is exploding inside right now. It changes every stinking thing. Everything changes in that. So we're rehearsing the word. We're cultivating. Here's the deal. We're exposing ourselves to the word. Now, you can come here, right, and depending on the ears you have, the sound of that word can kind of like, boing, you know, kind of bounce off of you, or it could go deep. It could pierce you deep, right? It depends on how you're receiving it. You know, Hebrews 4:12, for the word is living and active, sharper than it. You know what? Let's just read that. Let's just read it, okay? Let's go to Hebrews. Gosh, I have so much junk in my Bible. You know how it is? All right, Hebrews 4, starting at verse 12. I want to read this to you. I know you guys know this, and y'all can quote it by heart, but I want you to receive it like a sharp two-edged sword, okay? For the word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. You know what that is? It can help you discern between what is your flesh, what you think is God, but it's really you, and what's really the spirit. Above joints and marrow, you know, the connective tissue, the thing that holds stuff together, and the marrow, which is the deepest, deepest place. It's able to, get this, judge the thoughts and intentions of their heart, of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So, I mean, do you guys have an appetite for this bread? You want to fall on this word, this sword? Oh, there is some. People are like, yes, yes. Hallelujah. So, I wanted to talk to you about how we receive the word. One time, I can remember Papa Bill telling me, you know, everybody talks about the glory, wants the glory, but they really don't want the glory. Less people show up when there's glory. Why? Because it's a confrontation with the Lord. The glory will change something in you. It will cause something to happen. So we tend to kind of pull back from that. But I'm here to tell you, where else do we have freedom? Where else do we have hope? Where else is this quest, this journey? There's a reason the Lord also comes as fire, a consuming fire. Why? Because it destroys all the evidence. It destroys all the evidence of the past. Who's going to accuse you then? Huh? Following this word, baby. So in the journey groups, we're following Acts 2:42 because they gave themselves. They gave themselves. See, this is what I'm asking you to do to engage the word. Give yourselves to it. They gave themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. There is something to this blessed math. It adds up to an expression of Jesus in the world. There is something to it. And I've always been like, so exactly what is the apostles' doctrine? I've never really heard anything satisfactory. But lately what's been coming forth is an apostolic doctrine. The apostles were builders. The word comes to fathers and they build something. This apostolic word does something in you. It does something. So you feast on it. You feast on it like you feast on fellowship. You feast on prayer, and you feast on the bread of life. So let's talk about this apostolic. The biggest challenge we have is receiving the word from somebody. How many of you hear from the Lord? Half of you? What? We all can hear from the Lord. We all want to hear from the Lord, and we should. But we don't always want to hear from the Lord through somebody else. That is our biggest challenge. Why? Because the spirit of the age is about me. It's about individualism. It's an ism, which is, you know, it's a type of religion, to be honest with you. We want to hear for ourselves. Okay, so what I want to do is kind of lay this out to you. The word of the Lord comes to you personally, and it should. You have to have a personal experience with the Lord. Your salvation experience is a very personal thing with the Lord. But as we sing, you've been birthed into a family. You have been birthed into a kingdom. And this is, I think, where we trip a lot, is the corporate experience. So let me be very clear. You have to have an individual experience with the Lord. But if you don't have a corporate experience with the Lord, with his body, you're not going to have unity. Listen, there, by its nature, unity has to require more than one. I mean, I'm just, again, it's math, right? You have to have more than one to have unity. So if you're not willing to have a corporate experience, you're not going to go very far with the Lord. You'll only have that head experience. You won't have that body experience. And that is very challenging, and it should be, because it has to create something in us. We have to do something that separates us from the rest of the world. So this corporate relationship of family, it's not only a model, but it is a vehicle that takes us from immaturity, spiritual children, right to maturity, becoming mature sons. Doesn't mean we're not in the family. It's just our stage of growth on our journey. It's where we are on our journey. But this family is exceptionally important to you. And this family has a structure, and we need to recognize that. We have to mature together. It's a corporate experience, corporate expression. See, the Lord didn't say they're going to all know your mind because you kind of like yourself. It's because we love each other. There has to be a corporate expression. So in Ephesians 2:20, we know this. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the key, chief cornerstone. Okay, we don't mature in a bubble. We like to come to church and get a word or have an encounter, have an experience. But oftentimes what we're doing when we walk in those doors is we're looking for an individual experience. And we're not giving ourselves to a corporate experience. And it limits the expression of the church. It limits your expression. It limits my expression. And we don't get to connect in a deeper way than we do in the rest of the world. So the church today is captured, captivated by this individual expression. It reflects more the spirit of the age. This is a link, and it keeps the church from progressing. So why does this happen? Well, let's find out. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. That is the disadvantage of having a microphone in one hand. You can't use two hands. But if I have that thing Papa has, then I have a tendency to bang it with my earrings. And you can't hear me, and it falls off my ears. Hold on. Hang on. Okay, we're back. Okay, we're in 1 Thessalonians Chapter 2, let's start at verse 11. Just as you know how, this is Paul, by the way, talking to the Thessalonians. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received, okay, here's the critical part, from us, the word of God's message, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. That's the faith part. Yeah, and then it goes, let's go ahead to 14. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews, and on and on. But the point is how they received the word, and it did a work in them. How you engage that word, it will do a work in you. It does a special work. It's an apostolic work. So during this time, there were thousands of believers. I mean, it doesn't really tell you how many, but I mean, he was all over the planet fathering all these sweet churches. There were thousands of believers. Christ was adding to them daily, right? So in this time, you're like, okay, so why wasn't there a lot of Pauls? You know, you've got a lot of teachers, but not many fathers. Paul had laid himself down so thoroughly. He was such a mature father. This is what we need today. And then, so when he had to look after these children, he would do things like send Timothy. Why? Because Timothy didn't have his own interests at heart. He was after the interests of the Lord. He was after Paul's interests. He was following Paul as Paul followed Christ. So we have this massive amount of believers and not very many mature ones. So what is a mature one? A mature son is disciplined, trained, having your senses trained, your spiritual senses. So we hone these senses until they become a natural response. So it's kind of like, it's kind of like, sports and things like this. I'm going to tell this story. Okay, so, when Joel and I were young and I hadn't been dating him very long, but I was really into martial arts, right? So you practice, right? You hone your skill over and over and over so it becomes second nature so you don't even think about it. So God help me. We were at his boss's house for gathering, and he had like a couch out in the middle. It wasn't against a wall, and I'm sitting on the couch, and Joel's standing behind me. I don't know why. I don't remember. Joel just reached down and goosed me. I backfisted him right in the chops. There was no thought process to it. I just went, bam. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I was crying blood. I was so embarrassed. I was horrified. I mean, I hadn't been dating him that long at all. I thought, that's it. It's over now, babe. But I want you to know that man also has his senses finally honed. Total control. He thought it was pretty funny, you know. And I'm like, I think I might have to marry him. But you get what I'm saying. You want to do this so that your spiritual senses are second nature. We talked about that not too long ago. Moving right along. It takes much preparation for the brief moment you're training for. The dealings of God, the preparation of the heart, the endurance. We spend our week positioning ourselves for the Lord. It's not like we just go in the closet and go, hot, hot, I did show God. No, no, no. What we're doing is we've got this awareness that accompanies us through everything we do. Making sure that heart is positioned for the Lord. We want our responses, our spiritual responses to be trained so that you don't backfist people. You know, you give them the good blessing, yeah? And the thing is this, it's a lifelong process for a mature son because your disobedience was taken care of yesterday, but you're only as good as today. Your obedience has to be that good today. And you get to that point. You get to that point in your maturity and in your journey. You have to be yielded today. And honestly, to be real honest with you, the big stuff is easy. You know, you turn on the TV or your computer and you hear the news and you're like, what? They said that? You can say that in public? I cannot believe those people said that. I can't believe those people did that, you know, but it's kind of not too hard to have your heart right for that big stuff, but it's the little stuff, you know, that happens in family, those closest to you, particularly your spouse. Those things are hard. So that's my latest victories as I find that with familiarity, you know how it says that it breeds contempt, that in the most familiar places, I'm having a better response. and I'm quick to repent, and I'm quick, because you see, it doesn't matter what the other person does. It only matters how I respond. That's what defines it. Not what the person did right or wrong. So those little things that, and these places of your brothers, your sisters, your parents, your spouse, that's the heart of challenge. That's the deep places of the heart. And the Lord wants to like take his word and put it right in there, right in there. Now, apostles, we don't appoint apostles. The Lord does that. It's not a merit badge. Sorry, we don't do that. Why? Because a mature son doesn't have an appetite for being an apostle. A mature son has an appetite for the Lord, for the will of God, and that alone. And it produces something. That appetite produces something. So a true father is somebody who's been dealt with by the Lord, whose only interest is the Father's will. This is a very high standard that's difficult to find. It's not easy for any of us to move into this kingdom manifestation because it's dealing with us, right? Who is willing to open themselves up to this level of working in the Lord? So I want to say, in this apostolic season, it's built on the foundation of the apostolic and the prophetic. I want to declare something to you, which is nothing more than an echo of what came forth in an apostolic fashion. We are in a special season. This hour is a special season. Papa said it last week. This is not the hour to take your ease in Zion. This is the hour to pursue him who is the word. Expose yourself. Engage this word. Let it go deep. Where? Into the deep places of your heart. Listen, the old man who was consumed, that dead stuff is the fertilizer that this kind of new man grows in. Okay? That's where the fertile heart is. I'm letting go of that old stuff. That has nothing to do. It's not, as Papa says, it's not about your missteps. It's about your next step. The mature sons, they go toward the Father, exposing themselves to this word every day. And they plant it deep. They rehearse it. They cultivate it deep in the fertility of that heart. And they hear. They have eyes to hear. How about that? Eyes to see and ears to hear this. So the deep word is calling to the deep place. This is a season of deepness because what the Lord is doing, he requires mature people. Expect challenges to come with this. These challenges are there to ferret out the deep places in your heart. It's a sharp sword. It's piercing. It's like the sound of the priest with the trumpet signaling. You see, the priest blew shofars, but the priest had a silver trumpet. Listen, in the midst of the business, you know, where you're feeding your goats and you're taking care of your tent and you're out in the wilderness and you're calling your kids and dealing with all this and that and the other, suddenly, in the midst of your busyness, here comes this trumpet blast. It pierces, and suddenly everybody's like, what? What? What's going on? What are we doing? The priest of signals. It's time. So this word comes like that. It's a trumpet. You know what I'm thinking of right now? You know what an air horn is. Well, growing up on the boat, we would go offshore. We always had an air horn with us because you might need it in the fog or to signal the boat or something, whatever. You always had the air horn. You know what that is. That's that irritating thing they have at the football games. And when we were little, the joke was, you know, at the end of a long day, you've been up before dawn, you've been shrimping or fishing, whatever, and you're coming back in, you know, and everybody's kind of like laying in the chair or on the deck or whatever, sleeping, you know. Dad's driving the boat in. We're coming in through the jetties, the ship channel, through into Sabine Lake. He would take that air horn out from under his seat, and he'd get up there under those sleepy boys, you know, and they would do the dance, you know, and freak out. It's always happened. We always had some young kid with us because all the men that would go out were like children magnets. You know, we always had somebody who needed a dad who didn't really either have one or didn't have a good dad or whatever. They always would take them under their wing and take them fishing. It was a great thing to grow kids up with. Oh, the kids thought that was great. Then they'd be like, okay, we want to do it. So they'd try to do it under their friend who was on the boat or whatever, and it would never work because they already heard it, right? So occasionally the older men would be asleep with their feet up on the dashboard in the chair. And the kids would come with that air horn, get underneath them, and meh, and they just lay there. Because they were older and wiser, they had had the dealings. You know, they were seasoned. So it comes like that. It wakes you up. It stirs you out of wherever you are. One time we were coming in, and in the midst of this long drive in on this big boat, there's the Causeway Bridge that goes between Texas and Louisiana. It's an old, old, old swing bridge, you know, that goes like this. You know, the bells ding, ding, ding. The gates go down. The traffic stops. The gates swing up. The bridge swings open. You go through. And there's this little control shack with a guy in it. And he's always supposed to be, like, checking it all out. And so sometimes you would have to kind of wake him up with the air horn. The ideal thing was for him to see you coming. And ding, 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 things go down. The bridge swings open. You never miss a beat. You just slide right on through onto the marina. And gate didn't swing open. Blew the horn twice, nothing happened, slowed down, wait, what's going on? Dad was getting really mad then. So he takes the boat, and we tie off to the piling. He climbs out onto the piling, up the bridge, on top, to the control shack. He looks in, and the guy's, like, gone. He's asleep in his chair, pulls out the air horn. You know, and the guy's like, ah. Dad just quietly climbs back down into the boat. Ding, 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 ding. Gates swing them, yeah. To be honest with you, I am a little bit more like the guy in the control shack than the guy with the air horn. One night, I was being so holy. I was going to be up for the third watch or second watch or whatever the watch. Who cares what watch? I don't even understand all that. All I know is you seek the face of the Lord, right? So I'm up in my chair by myself, got my Bible, you know, and I'm just worshiping the Lord, and then I pray my best prayers, and I'm reading the Word. Somewhere in there, I'm a goner. I'm not even aware. I am so gone that, like, I sleep really good, which bothers Joel. Somebody could break into my house. I wouldn't know. You know, I'm gone. So I'm, like, in the chair, dead asleep, just like the guy in the control shack. And suddenly, I hear the audible voice of God. It, like, exploded inside me, outside of me. He goes, Cheryl. Listen, there is no doubt when the Lord speaks. In that split second of an instant, you know, it reminds me when Bill talks about the angels, how, like, heaven unzipped, and they sing, there's no doubt in your mind, and then it zips up, and it's like, because you can't take it. It was that. It was that. It was like, I hear my name, do the dance, you know, and I'm like, ooh. And the air, the sound of my name in my own ear was like sparkles. It was like electric. It glittered in my hearing, if that makes any sense at all, because I don't have words for this, right? And I was just like, I was so freaked out. And I'm like, yes. I mean, you know, but everything in you, fear, you talk about fear of the Lord, it's there. But at the same time, you're going, don't stop speaking. But you can't take it. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm sitting there, and nothing's happening. After, I ain't going to sleep now. That's over, you know. So I was like, well, I don't know what to do. What do you do when the Lord speaks? You know, I'm like, ready, but I don't know. So I thought, well, somebody gave me this word last week about Hannah. I'll read it. You know the story. I knew the story, but what do you do? So I started reading about Hannah. As you know, Hannah was barren. She goes to the priest Eli. He prays. She has a kid, Samuel, and she brings him and consecrates him to the Lord. He's now devoted to the Lord. Samuel is now in ministry. He is ministering to Eli, the priest. Now, of course, you know, Eli and his sons weren't, like, the best example of the Lord in the world. So one night, at this point, Samuel's kind of grown up. He's kind of, I guess, probably a young teenager. And he lays down to go to sleep. And he hears his name, Samuel. He jumps up and he runs in there to Eli and he says, "You rang?" You know, he's like, "No, go to bed. Shut up, go to bed." So he goes back in there and lays down and goes to sleep. Samuel, he jumps up and runs back in there. "You called?" "No, I didn't." At this point, Eli's going, you know, pay attention. It might be the Lord. So he goes, let's just turn to that. Just because when the Lord speaks, this is going to be 1 Samuel. I have it marked here. It stays marked in my Bible to remind me. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10. Then the Lord came and stood and called as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel says, "Speak, for thy servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold," get this, "I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." And I went, get out. Oh my gosh, that's what happened. Oh my gosh. This word came and called my name. Now, when the Lord calls, you know, you're like, you know, it's kind of like the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration when they go, maybe should we build you houses? Three houses, each your own house, you know. You just kind of like don't know what to do because it's just so, it's so beyond you, but it does something in you. It creates, it pierces, it thunders, it awakens, it changes everything. The creative word comes and it creates what in you? Him. It's not to call you to something special, which it may do as a manifestation, but it calls you to him for something. If the Lord, like Samuel, if the Lord is speaking and you don't recognize it, you'll miss it. If you hear the word on Sunday and you don't know it's the Lord, you'll miss it. If we don't receive what the Lord is speaking, the one he's speaking through, we'll miss it. The Lord will speak in ways that challenge the hearer. Because remember the days when they didn't receive in John 1? He came to his own, and those that were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Just receive this word. It comes with rights. Remember in Thessalonians, we read it. You accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is. The word of God, which performs its work in you who believe. The maturity is displayed in fathers to the family. Paul said they were imploring them as a father would his own children. He was building something in those people, those young Christians. He was building a foundation, not just in them, but with them. Why? This sacrifice is to lay yourself down as a foundation. Paul was giving himself to them as a foundation. He was laying a model for them how to become a foundation. Look, today there's so many voices right now speaking against our foundations. All you have to do is turn on the news. It's there everywhere. You can always find divisive voices, fault finders. You can't cleanse and purify the faults of previous fathers by rewriting history. You can't do it by casting blame, removing statues, erasing God's word from monuments, castigating your opposition. You cannot correct evil when we speak words from our trumpets that tear at the foundations and throw away the cornerstones so that some sort of brave new world can be created in our image. Everybody wants the world to look like they want it to instead of who the Lord is. These men and women sacrificed everything so that you and I would have a foundation today. Why are they beating our doors down to get in? They want to stand on our foundation. They're not beating the doors down of every country, are they? It would have been so much easier for our founding fathers to just give up, sell out to the British. Hey, some of them did, but they risked everything. They weren't perfect, but neither was Abraham, neither was David, neither was Joseph, neither am I. None of us are perfect like that. What perfection God is talking about is maturity. We've been dealt with. And our heart, our whole heart, is for the Lord. God built his throne, Jesus, on this thing, David's whole heart. So what are we creating? Remember, it's not about our missteps. It's about our next step. We cannot be in the business of cutting the floor out from underneath ourselves. We have to insist on this cornerstone. It would have been far better for our old ancient fathers to stay in Babylon. Most did, because it was beneficial. But a few came out to go back and reestablish the foundations. A few came out, this remnant. It is a rare breed. Hey, church, you're a rare breed. Let's go now to 1 Thessalonians. Go back to Thessalonians. And this time we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord. See, he's not just saying, hey, just imitate me. He's saying, imitate me and the Lord. Because you're going to get some of me and you're going to get mostly the Lord, but we're the goal is to imitate the Lord. Everybody has a problem when you say imitation. They start like, oh, great, clones. No, no, no. Nobody seems to have a problem imitating the Lord. That's what we're talking about here. Having received what? The word in much tribulation with what? The joy of the Holy Spirit. That's the result. So that, I love this. You became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth where? From you. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also every place your faith toward God has gone forth. Get this. So that we have no need to say anything. You think that was a proud papa? You think Paul wasn't proud of these? These beautiful, mature sons that came forth, and they were speaking the word as oracles. Whew. Family business. Yeah, that's good, Travis. So literally, the word was trumpeted in every place that faith toward God went forth. Every place your faith goes forth, you're trumpeting the word of God. You know, listen how important this name-calling business is to this apostolic foundation. Peter, Jesus says, you know, hey, Pete, who do you say I am? Of course, he wasn't Peter at that point, you know. And he says, you're the Son of the living God. You're Jesus. And he's like, hey, the Holy Spirit did this. This wasn't flesh and blood that revealed this to you. And then what does he do? He turns around and he calls him Peter the Rock. And upon that rock, that foundation, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against that foundation. Listen, I don't know about you guys. This gives me a lot of joy. Because when everything is shaking, whether it be just the earth doing its thing, Shimeon, or whether God's shaking it, that foundation we're building on is not going to shake. I have a sure hope. I can receive this in joy. All of these tribulations, listen, compared to that eternal hope, that joy of a solid foundation forever, that means I can receive this in joy. I can celebrate it. Listen, the more this word has a work in me, the less things can come against it. All my issues and challenges of the day, they are eclipsed by this hope, this glory. You want an eclipse? You want a total eclipse? How about that? How about overshadow everything totally with this word that is solid and sure in you? That is who you are, church. You were followers. You were faith followers. And I'm calling you by a name. You see, it's not enough right now for God to call us by a name individually. He's calling us by a name, his name. You are his body. You are his church. You are the oracles of God. That's who you are, and he's calling you. He's calling you. You're a foundation. Your very life set the stage for the hope of the future. We lay ourselves down and say, come on, word. Come on, bread of life. Have your work. Have your work in us, because this is all we live for. This is all we want. You can have my whole heart, because you're the only place of hope. Do not take your ease in Zion, but you pursue the Lord. You come forth to his altar and present yourself. And you, when that word comes, you receive it and say, have your work. And you drink it. You eat it. You grab a hold and you treasure it, because it's precious. It is our Jesus. And he is you. Bless you with that this morning. Would you stand? Guys, you want to come up? God, oh, heavenly word, we thank you, Lord, that you are our daily bread. Every single day, Lord, we feast upon you. We drink of you. And Lord, we just make ourselves completely open and vulnerable. Lord, our yes is yes, but our flesh is weak and our spirit is willing. So I ask, Holy Spirit, help your word. Spirit, I ask that you bear witness. Spirit, I ask that you give your word, which is Jesus, success. This isn't my word, our word. It's your word. It's the word of the Father. And I bless that in every heart, to invade every circumstance and in every place that your faith goes forth to the world.
Lord, we don't hold back anything in this hour, but we yield ourselves to the word of the Lord. Father, we're not our own creation, but you're the creator. And we submit ourselves to be created by you in your image, to become fashioned and formed with your heart, with your mind. So, Lord, we aggressively seek your face this morning. We aggressively lay ourselves bare before you, so that that word of the Lord may come as that sword and divide and separate and take away anything that would defile. But, Lord, you may establish your foundation within us. We release that this morning, that we may stand upon Christ, the solid rock. All other ground is sinking sand. We're going to stand on that which the Lord has spoken in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. We open up our hearts and we receive in a way we haven't done it before. It's more than just laying down our lives and thinking about it in our head. Was accepting it in our hearts and becoming. Not so much by what we do, but what he does in us.
Yeah, we just thank you, God. And we just submit to your word. We just open ourselves to you. Yeah, we just declare that we're going to become that living sacrifice. And you sent the fire, Lord, and it was the priest's job to keep it burning. And we just declare that we're just going to keep it burning in the name of Jesus.
We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we just eat your word today, and always, we just want to be one with your word and just take it into ourselves.
Father, we thank you for the new white robes that you've given us. We thank you for that. And we step into the new. We step into the new. We step into your will, your way, and your time. We yield our agendas. We yield all of us. we open our hearts that you may circumcise them in the deepest places of our hearts. We yield to you, Lord, together as your body, as your church, new, united on your foundation.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless you guys. I love you all so much. You really are my family. Have a blessed week with the word.